Good afternoon and happy New Year's Eve to each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to thank you for being here with me on New Year's Eve, and I want to wish you and yours a very, very happy New Year. May it bring you all that you hope for and more. Please be safe out there. Take care of one another. That's one of the things that I want you to hear from me today. Make sure everybody gets home safely. Please do not drive. If you've had any cocktails, call that Lyft or Uber. Make sure your friends and family all get home safe. And I wish you all the best from me to you for a wonderful 2025. I can't wait to come back and be with you live for my first show in 2025 on January 6th. I'll be back in the chair. And again, my thanks to everyone at Civic Media for giving me a little bit of time off. So we're going to close out this segment before we have some of that special curated content that we'll have for you for the rest of this Maggie Dawn Show on New Year's Eve. We're going to close it out with a little bit more of Harry Connick Jr. and What Are You Doing on New Year's? Thanks for sharing it with us here at Civic Media. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. But I thought
you're listening to the best of the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy New Year. You just heard him, folks. His name's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor for Civic Media. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. We've been recombobulating 2024, and then we're going to precombobulate 2025, give us some things to keep your eyeballs on. We just talked about the fact that we, in the state of Wisconsin, on a local legislative basis, or statewide legislative basis, had an election with fair maps, finally. We had Dems pick up a bunch in the state legislature in highly competitive races. What was the sort of final batting averages coming out of the fall election?
Yeah, so the in the assembly, I would say the Democrats maybe got a little bit less than I was expecting, that many people were hoping for. There was a real chance that they could flip the chamber. They came up 5 seats short. So it's going to be a 54 to 45 balance in the Wisconsin State Assembly and a Republican majority there, much smaller than the near supermajority status that they had previously. So Democrats were able to pick up 10 seats there, which is significant, and narrow that margin quite a bit. And then I think the real terrific performance that Democrats had in the legislature was in the state Senate. So there were 5 races there, 4 that were either, you know, previously a Republican held or had a Republican incumbent, and then another that was a Democratic seat. Brad Paff was the state senator there. And, you know, it was like, okay, these are the 5 races that are going to be the most competitive in the state Senate. Democrats won all 5. So they were able to, there we go. They were able to pick up all 5 of those seats, narrow, you know, end the Republican supermajority in the state Senate and get it to an 18-15 breakdown and really put the Senate majority in play for 2026 when the rest of the chamber will be on the ballot. So I think, you know, that is a really, really that's something that, you know, Wisconsin state Senate Democrats can really be proud of there.
Yeah, I think overall a big win for democracy, small d, because, again, competitive districts should always be the point. It's how we ensure that our government is actually responsive to us. And I've been heartened to see these changes on the state level, right, on the state and local level here in Wisconsin. You know, everybody pays attention to the national political discourse, but the saying is all politics is local. And that's not only true on a grassroots organizing basis, it's true on the impact measure as well. The things that really impact your quality of life the most are the things that are being done by state and local government, which, you know, if we quizzed 100 people, right, walked out and talked to the first 100 people we met on the street, Dan, I'd wager that less than 20% of them could likely name their alder person, their alderman, alderwoman, and their state senator and legislator. You know, and these are the people that by far impact what's happening the most.
Impact your schools, impact your healthcare access, impact like all sorts of different things about your local economy. Absolutely. And I think democracy, to me, is built from the ground up.
Yeah.
And it is from these local races. It's from places like state assembly or city council or your school board or whatever it might be. So I think, you know, as we look ahead to next year, there's going to be a lot of those types of races that we're seeing. But it's also really important to recognize, you know, this is if you're feeling, you know, disillusioned by Trump's election, whatever it might be. You need to start by looking local. You need to start by looking at your local office. That's where you can make the most impact, and that's what has the most impact on your day-to-day life.
One of the things, Cardi, can you turn my levels up just a little bit?
Yes, I can.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. One of the things that I often struggle with is trying to explain to people how, that despite all the stuff they hear, how incredibly like nonpartisan the vast majority of government operations are. Like,
right. There's not a right and left to snow removal.
Yes. I was just going to say, do you want your garbage picked up? Do you want the snow removed? Do you want a vibrant educational system, good public libraries, your potholes filled? You know, like there's so much oxygen sucked up by all of the screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
It's why I couldn't agree with you more, Dan, when people say to me, oh, I don't know, this is so terrible. I just say, hey, maybe put your head down, put the blinders on to the national stuff.
Yes.
And get engaged with your local electeds, get to know them. Local electeds are incredibly responsive. If you feel like no one's listening to you, I have a tip. Call your local alderman or email them. I guarantee someone will get back to you. Like, call your state assembly person. Call your state senator. Someone will nearly certainly get back to
you. Absolutely. Participation is power.
Absolutely. Folks, that's Dan Schaefer. He is the political editor at Civic Media. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about things from 2024 that I think are historic, just, you know, once in a lifetime events. And that was the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. In addition to the Maggie Dawn, why did Donald Trump win five factors, which are existential economic angst, which is in good faith, the charismatic messenger that people believe is authentic, the otherizing of groups to villainize, the metastasizing of that, the information sewer that let all that grow, and then the false notion of zero sum and that we're all in a dog-eat-dog world. Those five things, you could maybe add the assassination attempt. I think it was big. I think it moved a lot of people. It was sort of the symbolic embodiment of Trump's argument that I have been targeted, right? Mm-hmm. That I am actually the victim here, and you watched it happen. Where do you put it on sort of impact on the election spectrum?
I think you're right. I think it's been totally overlooked as something that's really important. And I think one of the things that, you know, has come out in some of the post-election polling and analysis and all of that is that people who don't necessarily follow the day-to-day news tended to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
But what I think it probably, if you're not somebody who follows the day-to-day news, if you're not part of the, you know, political discourse on a day-to-day basis, one story that you definitely saw
was
the assassination attempt and Trump's pretty remarkable response in the moment to that, right? I mean, I can disagree with him about anything, but like, you know, the way he kind of stood back up, and I think everybody saw that, right?
Yes.
Everybody saw that. No matter how much you pay attention to politics, everybody saw that moment. And then the RNC in Milwaukee immediately followed that. It was just days after the assassination attempt. And so it really was this just rallying around Trump as the candidate, Trump, you know, surviving this assassination attempt. I think it was a huge factor.
Yeah. If all you knew as a or all you really like cut through the noise to you was the assassination attempt, Biden dropping out.
Right.
And you're overall like, this sucks from the post-COVID, you know, malaise that I think many of us are still struggling to break free of. And of course, the economic contractions that happened after that. And, you know, pocketbook economics always trail national economics, right? And if all you heard or that resonated with you was assassination, Biden dropping out, and everybody's, all the Dems are saying is that the economy's fine.
Yeah. And everything's more expensive, and I'm, yeah, you know, my housing's, like, ridiculous.
Absent
and,
other, yeah, yeah, contrary information, like, right, that equates to a vote for Donald Trump, and that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah.
That was historic, the dropping out. I mean, holy cow. I think historians, you know, my immediate take on that was, you know, Biden will be hailed as a hero, you know, for doing this. I presumed, incorrectly so, I'll say this about myself, that Kamala would win.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to me to see how history judges that, to wit, what were you doing running in the first place? Why didn't you drop out earlier? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you, again, announce that you weren't running, allow a contested primary process, all of that? I think that one's that whole box, I'm going to say, it's TBD about how history will view it.
There's a great quote that I like about legacies, and it's, you're remembered by the sum of your accomplishments, but defined by your singular failure.
Your worst thing.
And then I think that is going to be what ultimately defines Joe Biden's legacy, his inability to step aside when he should have.
Yeah,
and
much earlier.
And I think, you know, I think the biggest reason that I think that Donald Trump was reelected was because of Joe Biden, was because he was an unpopular incumbent running in a year where incumbents across the world are losing elections. And he did not step aside in time to give to allow for a real primary process, because nobody's going to challenge the sitting president who's running for re-election in a primary. Like, the people who made that argument were ridiculous. But I think, you know, to give Kamala Harris only 107 days to run, and to not let the voters pick the candidate, even though, you know, they may have
picked
Harris.
Her anyway.
She may have been their pick, but to you know, I think that will ultimately be his singular failure. Ultimately led to Donald Trump
and his alone
winning again.
And, yeah. his alone. Ultimately, that is the decision to back out was his and his alone. The decision to run for re-election was his and his alone. Mm-hmm. And he's going to bear the consequences for that. I think a short postscript. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got one more segment with my good friend Dan. Don't go anywhere.